Our reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. In Ephesians so far, we've seen how committed Paul is in his support of this early church. Here he is in prison, writing to the Ephesians, and he writes with that same sense of urgency that we looked at when we talked about prayer last week. But at this point in the letter, Paul is now giving them advice on how to live as a Christian, which of course we can translate as advice for us. This section of the letter opens with those words, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." What does that mean? I guess today we probably use the word vocation more than we use the word calling. People take on jobs as vocations or a calling. Some, like doctors and vets, study for many years to achieve their calling. Farmers work incredibly long hours each day to fulfill their calling. Nurses and carers, they put a huge amount of commitment into maintaining high levels of care that was their calling. From these modern day parallels, I think we can start to understand what Paul was saying to all those Ephesians who were being called to follow Christ. That a calling comes with responsibility and it requires effort and commitment. Paul's starting point is to remind the Ephesians of some of the fruits of the Spirit: humility, gentleness, patience, love, and peace. The characteristics that should naturally flow from us as a result of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives as followers of Jesus. Nurses, vets and doctors and many other vocational professionals that I haven't mentioned, they have uniforms often, don't they? They have specialist equipment, certificates and skills, all of which demonstrate their calling, who they are, their identity. Christians have the fruits of the Spirit. We may feel like we are sometimes lacking the fruits of the Spirit. We are often, unfortunately, falling short of all that we could do, all that we could have. And we do fail to reflect Christ in our lives, as we can assume the Christian Ephesians did. But it's about recognising the standards for the life that Christ has called us to. whatever our failings may be. That means receiving reminders to keep us on track, which for us may well come from going back to the Bible regularly, or I would imagine, and it certainly should, come from gentle words from a friend, the equivalent of receiving Paul's letter. As Paul points out, unity sits at the heart of the lives of all those worthy of the calling. As Christians, exhibiting Christian unity is a really important element of living our Christian lives. That unity, with the very many things that can divide us, is only possible with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul specifically lists humility, gentleness, patience, love, and peace here. When you break that down, unity simply isn't possible without them. If we don't have humility, we will believe that we're always right and others are always wrong. The result of that is discordant relationships. When we don't show gentleness, even when we may be in the right, even when we may be called to challenge someone, if we're not gentle, we're going to create upset. We're going to weaken the relationships. When we lack patience with others, then relationships are going to be strained. And without love for others, especially when their own behaviour is difficult to take, all the other fruits are going to be elusive. A lack of the essential fruits is bound to lead to disunity, in other words. And unity in Christian communities is hard. I often say so. We're usually from very different backgrounds with varying beliefs and traditions. And that was the case for the Ephesians. It was a multicultural city. The differences prior to their conversion to Christianity would have been enormous. But Paul brings it back to one essential unifying factor: God. God himself is the epitome of unity, the Trinity, three in one. When we focus on what matters, we are completely unified. That one body Paul talks about in verse 4 and then in verse 12. He states in verse 5 that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. When we agree on this, whatever other differences we have, we will achieve the unity to which we are called as the body of Christ. It goes without saying that as individuals making up the body, the Christian church, like the Ephesians, we're a work in progress. We are not the finished article and almost certainly never will be. Hence, Paul refers to having leaders to equip people for service and the body being in the process of being built up. But he also refers to infancy and maturity. In other words, our faith isn't static, it needs to be growing. Those new to following Christ may be young in faith, infants, but they shouldn't stay that way. Think about it. As infants, as children, we're vulnerable. We're more vulnerable than we are as adults, as we grow in wisdom, in physical strength. It's essential as Christians for us to grow up. And you know, when you think about aging, there's no limit, is there really, to the maturing process? Because when we're 21, we're not fully grown up. We may not be a child anymore, but we're not fully matured. And do you know, when we get to 90, we can still continue maturing. And that is a life of faith, isn't it? Continually learning and growing and being moulded as a result of our relationship with God. There is no stopping. We will always be in a position to grow in faith, attaining the full measure of the fullness of Christ. We need to be growing in faith. We need it. Paul is also clear about how we can go about it. Because it's not a passive act, growing. We have to do things. We have to come out of our comfort zones. As Christians, the essential element to that growth is we have to remain part of the body. It's hard, possibly impossible, to grow well in isolation without others around us. God has given us people around us. God has given us community. We need to make the most of those who God puts us in touch with. That provision of other followers, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, as we heard listed by Paul. And we need to exhibit the fruits of the Holy Spirit. All of that is so that we can play our own part in strengthening the body, the church, the ligaments, the strong ligaments that hold it all together. I mean, I'm not a scientist. I don't know how many ligaments there are in the body, but I do know that there are very many. And I also know, having torn one, how ineffective a torn ligament makes parts of the body. We have to, as individuals, strengthen the body, not weaken it. It's then that we fulfill our Christian calling, living a life worthy of the calling.